Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, praise team. We're going to go straight to this exhortation or message today. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity you gave to us again together and for me to be able to stand in this pulpit to give some exhortation. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Use my mouth, Lord, to bless your people, both those that are here and those that are going to be watching this on television, on radio, as we put them on, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be a source of blessing. Help us to be a channel of blessing to the people. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Because of the things that I always say, the situation in our group here, this could have been a series. In fact, if I cut it into five series, it would have been just perfect. But since it's not going to be a series, what I call this hit and run. I'm going to hit you and run. Praise the Lord, because I only call once in a year or twice in a year. This is my second time and in a year of presenting the word of God here. So that's why I call it hit and run. So I'm going to take your time, maybe 1.5 hours. That's why I stop it immediately at 11 o'clock so that we can go through. It's a teaching. And we need this to, the title of this message is going to be called Growing Spiritually. Praise the Lord. Growing Spiritually. I thank God for the review that we did. We went in that direction. It seems to be, and I said, well, let me just review what I was going to talk about today, because they were going in the same direction. That how do we know that you are progressing in your spiritual growth? So the Lord gave me this exhortation today, which perhaps is a piggyback to what the pastor preached last Sunday, growing spiritually. If we look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, when the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means you have something to do. You have a part to play. And you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9, that tells us a lot of things. Add to your faith virtue. And it tells you some of the things you need to add to your faith. That means you have something to do with your growth, spiritual growth. So this is more like a prelude to what we are going to talk about today. And you can also see that all of those things that Apostle Peter listed there, he said, add to your faith, knowledge, and so on. Those things is what I'm going to more or less talk about today, more like what I call practical steps. Practical steps of how what we did that brought us from this level of just ordinary believer to becoming a spiritual giant for the Lord. Because you are all called to be warriors. The Bible says you are all soldiers for Christ. Is that not what the Bible says? You are expected to be a soldier. If you are a soldier, then you know that you are a warrior for Jesus. From ordinary citizen to warriors. Look at the U.S. Army. Not everybody can carry weapons. You may say, well, everybody is allowed to carry weapons in some states. But the military guys, they are equipped with some what you call, special artillery equipment. They are the only one that can be carrying this kind of thing. You can see them in a mortar, this big equipment, because that's their equipment for the war. Not so. But we are all called to be soldiers, believers now. We are all called to be soldiers. So in short, you are expected to be equipped as to fight in this spiritual battle. From being ordinary citizen, we are born again. You have to grow spiritually to the point that God can say, yes, these are my warriors. And that is what we are going to talk about. What are the practical steps that will take you, a newcomer, or some of my friends, I have seen that they are all younger generation in their 30s, in their 20s, in their 40s, and we say, well, they are born again. But is that all? Is that all? That is what we're going to, what I call how we started. This is what I'm going to list, and I have at least 5 steps of what we did or what I did, because I'm going to use my personal testimony, as you know, how you grow like this. Because maybe I went through the same thing. And many of us went through something. Some stopped here, some progressed further, some progressed further. To, you don't drop anything. I want to make you make sure I explain myself clearly. When I say these 5 steps are the things we do to grow spiritually. When you come to Christ, maybe you are, you come like what you call scripture union. In those days, there's a group called SUs. In Nigeria, in those days, this is, they are called scripture union. They went to the high schools and witnessed to believers, to children, and they gave their life to Christ. And we call them SUs, scripture union. And what makes them different from the rest of the students in high school? They begin to read the Bible more. They began to take the Bible seriously. And that is the first level. Let me give you those 5 steps, and then I will go step by step through all those 5 steps. The first step is what we call daily quiet time. That was what was introduced to the SUs, Scripture Union members. Many of people were in high school age, you know, 16-year-old, 14-year-old. When you say you are a Christian, you must take time to talk to the Lord. Read your Bible daily. And these students became what they call Scripture Union members, and they call it SUs because they're always reading the Bible. They may study their books. Some of them get too more extreme to reading the Bible more than their books. That made them to fail. But of course, when they balance it, they are called SUs. But what is this step that we're giving to them? Daily Bible study. Daily. Where you create a time. We call it quiet time. So if you are not introduced to that, I'm introduced to you right now if you are a newcomer in Christ. Because what I'm preaching here, I put it on radio. Many people give their life to Christ just listening on the radio. And they think that's all. That's not all. They need to know that they need to begin to do daily quiet time with the Lord. How do you do that? And I'll explain that a little. Then this next thing is to do what I call, this is next step, but you don't drop the daily quiet time. I want you to know that. The daily quiet time is part of it. You just add these steps to this first one, okay? I call this one daily midnight or 3 a.m. prayer. Well, that is going beyond. Not everybody does that. But these are the things I did and I do and I am still doing. You add this to your faith, add this one to the another step, another step, another step, and I will list them, and I will now capitalize one by one in all of these things. I said, number one is daily quiet time. The next one is to do a daily midnight prayer or 3 a.m. prayer or whatever time you wake up to redeem the time. The third one is fasting, long fasting. The fourth one is what I call witnessing. You cannot separate that. I will come and talk one by one on these ones. And then the last one, which I call number 5, these are steps that make us grow in Christ. So if you are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, you need to know that you need to begin to take these steps as part of your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. The last one is reading the scriptures or faith books, not just the Bible. The Bible is our fundamental. But many ministries, many ministers, many preachers, many evangelists, many prophets over the years have done exposition of the scriptures. And they have books and books and books and books that are talking about the word of God. When you dip your nose in that and study, I'm going to talk more on that also. That is the 5th step that makes us grow. Because many of those seniors that you are seeing will tell you how they grow from glory unto glory. It is by studying. Apostle Paul himself was studying. And I will point to that. So those are the 5 steps. And I'm going to now go one by one to talk about these 5 steps that you need to do to make you grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. I said the first one is daily quiet time. So what do you mean by daily quiet time? You create time. You may say, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time. But you've got to create time if you want to grow in faith. You have to create time. I can tell my own testimony. That was how I was challenged. I was a church goer, going to church, and I had the Bible with me, always going to church with the Bible. And then when I came back, that was as a church goer, not a Christian, just a church goer. And then I thought I was a Christian, like many people in different churches. But when I came back from church, the Bible is under my pillow, like a charm, for those enemies not to bother me when I sleep. But it was not a charm. See, that was how I was. Until somebody challenged me. One of the SUs. I say SU because he was already SU before me. I was not SU. I was just church goer, very, very devoted in my church. And then I had the Bible under my pillow. And then took it to church and lay under my pillow. And this man, I happened to be a roommate with him in college. And he said, I always see you carry your Bible in your under your pillow and take it to church. I never see you read it. And I took that challenge. Yeah, maybe I said, yeah, I think I should be reading it. We only read, in those days, we were in the church, maybe we read the book of Psalms. But that's like a prayer for cursing your enemies. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. Because that was how I came to Christ. I was looking for God, save me. Lord, God, please save me. See? And then we put it under your pillow like a sham. Then he challenged me that, well, we don't even read it. Then I took that challenge. I want to begin to read. I didn't even know what was in the book of Romans and all these other things in that section. Well, I did high school Bible knowledge, so we read the book of Luke and we read the book of Acts of the Apostles. So I knew that, and in fact, I made A1 in high school. Because it's just stories, and I was good in academics. So A1 in high school, but you see, I only knew Acts of the Apostles, stories, and the book of Luke, stories. So when that brother challenged me, I took that challenge and I started reading the Bible from the book of Romans. I said, let me see what is that book of Romans talking about. When I started reading it, it changed my life. The Bible, the word of God changed my life. Because I began to see, you mean the Bible said that? You mean the Bible said that? And I started reading it. That was how I said, quiet time with the Lord was when I started doing that, and I did that, and I would come from classroom and come to my dormitory and have a 1 hour, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. when everybody went to play soccer after class, and I would read the Bible and talk to the Lord. That was my quiet time then, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in college, on college campus. Now, I'm going to give testimony of what you can get with every step I'm going to take here. An example of what I got when I was doing this, when I pick up that quiet time with the Lord, is this. One of those days, because I was what we call preliminary student in the college. A preliminary student is where they have an accelerated 2-year program and make it 1 year for some very, very serious students in high school. So you are starting the college, but you are not in college yet. You are just in the preliminary 1 year class. And during that time, it was for this particular testimony. I started this quiet time during that time, and I will read, and I will talk to the Lord after I come back from classes. And one of these days, we were taking physics, chemistry, mathematics. That was what you do in preliminary class, just 3 subjects. But because it was accelerated, many of us engineering students, we have what we call tutorial. After every class, they have a tutorial where the graduate students will come and help you to do. They will call of us together, 10 in the group, and they try to work some physics classes, help us solve the problems. And we are trying to figure out how this thing, and it was too much for us. Many of us were just barely cashing it. And during this time, I had this testimony that one of these days we were in this tutorial class. I'm trying to give you testimony of what I can say you can get just be quiet time with the Lord. In this tutorial class, there was one physics question in the textbook. And the graduate students that were helping these preliminary students walk through all these questions, they couldn't solve the question. They solve it and say, well, the answer they got did not match the answer in the textbook. Make many of us have seen that. The answer they got when they solve is one of these physics questions. It didn't match the question in the textbook. So they thought the answer in the textbook must be wrong. When we were prelims today, we couldn't even understand it. So the two graduate students were saying the answer in the textbook was wrong. So that was how they wanted to settle it. But I came back to my dormitory, one of these tutorial classes, and I came back to my dormitory and I was kneeling down to do my quiet time. And as I knelt down by my bed and trying to praise the Lord, the Lord said, what did you do today? I was hearing the voice of the Lord, because that's what quiet time is. You have to read your Bible, talk to the Lord, listen, let him talk back to you. And I heard the voice of the Lord, what do you do today? I said, yeah, you know, Lord, there was one physics question we couldn't solve. And the voice said, bring it, let me see. So I pulled out my bag, pulled out the question, I said, this one. And the Lord said, take your paper and pencil and start working it. Oh, okay. So I took it, my paper, and I started working it. And you see, these are the physics questions where you have to select one of these formulas. My engineer brother will remember. It's mechanics. Force is equal to this and that and that. You have this equation one. You can do either this formula or that formula or that formula or that formula. Everybody was using formula this, and they are getting the wrong answer in the book. And the graduate student said, maybe the answer in the book is wrong. And I took my paper and I started walking on my knees, talking to the Lord. And as I was thinking, and I picked that same formula to use it, the Lord said, no, don't use that formula. Use formula number 4. Really? Okay. So I took that one and I walked it and I got the different answer. And I checked the textbook. That was the answer in the textbook. On my knees, the Lord with a quiet time. So I went to the class the second day and I told everybody, watch in the tutorial class, this is what you do. And I walked it out and I became what? Hero. Praise the Lord. So I became the go-to person. I became the go-to person. Why? Because of the quiet time. That's what you can get. That's your testimony when you say, take that quiet time, do it right, the Lord will meet you there. Praise the Lord. Now, that is an example of one of the steps. If you begin to take those steps, you begin to see the Lord is interested in, what you are interested in. Maybe you are a businessman and you need to do something. Maybe you are a plumber and things are having problems. Talk to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer on your knees. And you'll be surprised the Lord will meet you there, giving you insight, what you should have done, what you should do. And you'll be shining more than your colleagues. And you'll be prosperous. That is what they mean when they say they are prosperous in the Lord. Now, number 2, the second step that in this spiritual growth that I'm talking about, this is another second step I want you to take, which is daily prayer in the night time. Daily prayer in the night time. You say, well, not everybody could do that. If you can wake up at 3 a.m., and pray and sing praise to the Lord, well, that's taking you to the next level. Praise the Lord. That is what I call taking you to the next level. You will have angelic visitation. I tell you that. Well, let me not just be talking and not giving you some Bible references. Go to Genesis chapter 24, verse 62 and 63. For that first quiet time, Genesis chapter 24, verse 62 and 63. So that you may know that this thing is not just somebody make it up in their head. This is something in the scriptures. Isaac was his father, the son of Abraham. Remember? Isaac came from the way of the way, Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country, verse 63. And Isaac went out to do what? To meditate in the field at eventime. So he has been trained by his father Abraham to know that meditation is you read the word of God, you talk to the Lord. That is exactly what the quiet time was to us. That you create 1 hour for yourself, run to your house, kneel down. It could be in the morning. Some people do it in the morning when they wake up. I did it in the evening when I came back from school because I was a student. You can do it, but quiet time, you alone with the Lord. If you are married, do it yours. Your wife does hers, and then you can come together as family. But this is an example. Isaac was doing it because he has been taught by his father that it is good to know how to talk to the Lord. And there is good reward from that. Well, this story of Isaac was when he did a quiet time, and then his wife was coming from Syria that they went to get for him. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 is the second one, which is for the 3 a.m. prayer that I talk about. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Let's see example of our Lord Jesus. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. You will see that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave us this example. What the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? Said, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. I don't know what that great while will be. 4 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever time. And he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Take example from that it is redeeming the time, even in the dead of night. If this is how the Lord inspired me to do that many years ago during my college campus, after I have given my life to Christ, after I said I have been doing this daily quiet time. So that's why I say you don't drop quiet time for this. You add this to the quiet time. If you want to grow from this level to the next level. The Lord just reminded me, inspired me that, you know that? In the dead of night, that's when the devils do their havoc. I say, yeah, because I had been attacked before like that. When I was even a high school kid, never really giving my life to Christ. Just a church girl, like I said, putting Bible over my pillow. I got attacked. In my room in that day, I was still, like I said, church goer. And something came into my room, and I have a blue light. You know, when you are living by yourself, you have a blue light for a quiet, smooth night's sleep. And this thing came into my room and was trying to crush me, and I opened my eyes. This is not a dream. I opened my eyes, and I saw a dark figure, tracing of a human being, standing by my bed, and was putting a hand upon my side like this, and I was feeling some pain upon that side. And that pain was what made me wake up. Because when he put his hand upon there, I felt the pain, I wanted to turn. No, if you sleep on this side and you're feeling pain, your body will want to turn to the other side. So I tried to turn. That was 1970. And I tried to turn, and this thing used the other hand to hold my shoulder down. Then I opened my eyes and I saw this dark figure of a human being. I mean, it's a trace of a human being, but it's just black, dark, like a shadow. And the first thing that I wanted to do was to raise my left hand and slap this thing. I mean, that's a high school kid. I wanted to fight. And then he just removed the hand there and pressed this other hand down. And pressed my shoulders down to the bed. I was living by myself. I was a high school kid, living by myself. That's why I said I was attacked. When he pressed my shoulders down and realized that I couldn't do anything, yet I was going to churches every Sunday. Then he sneezed. What? I can see that the fellow opened his mouth and like grinned at me, make mockery of me. And I could see some white traces of teeth in this dark figure. I couldn't do anything. I just said, Jesus. I was praying inside my mouth because my mouth was glued. I couldn't open my lips. So I just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then it disappeared. When it disappeared, I stood up and I looked at my window. Nothing opened. The window was not cracked. I checked the door. It was still locked. How did this thing get inside there? That was the beginning of my seeking after God. That if some things that could come through the window and they are, we call them demons, evil spirits, can press me down and pull some. That morning, that thing that he was passing to my belly, I started diarrhea. From there, diarrhea that day. I said, I thought diarrhea is because you eat some sugary things. No! Diarrhea, dysentery, they are demons. They just come and amplify whatever sugary things you have eaten. That was my beginning of searching after God. Now, I tell you that testimony to make me to say, The Lord reminded me of that after I gave my life to Christ, after I started this quiet and said, you know, in the dead of night, that's when these devils do their work. I said, yeah, remember that? Then begin to pray at dead of night. Oh, okay. So I started praying at dead of night and I started using my alarm clock. Set it to 3 a.m. When it's brr, 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 I woke up, roll up on my knees and pray and sing. And pray and sing and then 30 minutes, 1 hour, and go back to bed. That was the beginning of that, and it was an addition to quiet time. And you begin to see that when you take that upon yourself, then you are becoming a prophet. God said, because those are what the prophets do. You saw them. Elijah was on the mountain. What was he doing on the mountain? Praying, singing, talking to the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ woke up at the midnight hour to go and pray. What was it? Why? Early in the morning to pray, redeeming the time. So when the Lord showed me that, I added that to my practices, spiritual growth. Amen? Now the third point, I said, these are steps you must add to your lifestyle to grow from one step of faith to the next step. The third one is the fasting. Fasting, not just the one we do once a month, that is a practice. That's to make you practice. Now, take the fasting like the Lord Jesus Christ did that also. He went for 40 days fasting. Isn't it? Look at that. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. The Lord said, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This was an example of when the apostles couldn't cast a devil out. And they have gone out casting some devils out. But they run into this one, and that devil won't budge. They did everything they could do, the devil won't budge. And Christ was not around. And Peter, James, and John went with him to the mountain of transfiguration. When they came back, they saw this situation. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and the devil left. And the disciples came and told them, why couldn't we cast him out? We cast us some other devils out when you send us in your name. But we were using your name this time, but this devil refused. Why couldn't we cast him out? That was when he gave them this. This kind come forth from by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We're not the fasting we are doing once we do Friday night. It is the long type of fasting you have to challenge yourself to do. Okay? You can see that explained better in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1 to 2. That was actually where the Lord Jesus Christ himself did the fasting. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did his own fasting. Remember, he was led up to the Spirit by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And in verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an ungrateful. So this long type of fast, it's a challenge. You have to challenge yourself to do anything like that. You don't go to 40 first. You start slowly and build up until you can do 20, maybe 30, maybe 40. That is one of the things we did that gave us this boost. It's a booster. It's a faith booster. And I'm going to give one testimony of that right here. That after you have done it long, so let me tell you how to do it. I'm going to come back to that fasting. That's where I'm going to really capitalize on before I finish this exhortation, to tell you how to do it. Okay? But I want to give testimonies of what you get when you do these things. And one example of a testimony I wanted to give is this. After a long fast, I normally would do my own, when I was in college, I did my fast. The college is finishing May, end of May, and we're going to go for 3 months of vacation, summer vacation, and I targeted myself and said, well, the last week of that school days or school year, I started my fast. Maybe I wanted to fast 21 days, that's 3 weeks, water only, and then at the end of it, I would be like a skeleton, of course. Then I was coming back to go and do vacation. In one of those, because I did this 4 times, like I've explained before, 4 times in 2 years. One of those days, maybe the first time I did that, I came from college and I got to the motor park. I was going to my hometown. In Ibadan, Nigeria, the Molete Motor Park, and can see this young man in 22, 23, I was like a skeleton. After you fasted 21 days, you'll be like a skeleton. Don't you? But if you are looking for your beautiful face, you can do these things. Because he has already cut off all the desire for pleasing men. Because I was trying to please men, you won't want to do this. See? Because you want to look good. And you won't look good after 21 days. I'm on my 40 days, that the logical day. So I got to this motor park, and I was going to take the vehicle to my hometown. And I waited, because I was waiting, it's about 8 people who get into this car, or 6 people. And I was waiting for more passengers to come so that we can go. And one young man about my age just came straight to me. And he was asking for alms. It was a young man, look at him, he looked like a college student too. Came to me straight and said, can you help me? Anything I can give? And he opened his chest to see his dilemma. What is that? An accident? He said, no, that's cancer. That's what they call cancer? What I saw in his chest was if like you take a slicing machine and just slice the chest, bone and flesh, just slice, and there was a deep wound at the center and everything was being sliced away and like a big wound that you can almost see the back of the chest. What happened to you? He said, that's cancer. That's what you call cancer? Said, yes. I have read about it, cancer. I don't know, that was terrible. And he said he has been in the hospital for months. And all is just, he said it's all that is left, that is just collecting money to survive. And I said, can you believe God and God will help you? He said, God is what I'm waiting for now. He said, if the half of the remaining of my chest is gone, I'll be dead. Only God I'm waiting for. Let me pray for you. And I put my hand on his shoulder, point my finger in that deep wound, and I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you, Satan, will come out. And I saw, this is what I said, you are going to get, when you get to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, when you begin to add fasting to it. I saw, that when I say saw, mean the Lord opened your eyes. You see spirits. Spiritually, you just open your eyes, and I saw these spirits jump out of that wound. And the man himself looked at my face, because he sensed that the wound pain disappeared. And I said, you are healed. I even gave him money, because, well, he's looking for money. Okay. Yes, $200. But see, that is what Christ said. This kind of word not thou, but by prayer and fasting. I said that because it was after my 21-day fast. And I was just coming from college after the 21-day fast, looking so skinny, that I was going back home. And that happened at the motor park. Public motor park. So remember, you can get great faith, great power, by taking all these steps and adding it to your faith. Praise the Lord. Now, let me get to number 4. The number 4 part is I call witnessing. Praise the Lord. You cannot do without that. Witnessing for Jesus. The Bible says all of us are called to be his witnesses. Say, you are my witnesses, said the Lord. Open to me Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 8. Witnessing for Jesus is essential, because that is what is the Great Commission. And when you are witness for Jesus, you can go from glory unto glory, because he is going to promote you as you witness for him. Here in the Acts of the Apostles said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You cannot do without the witnessing, because the witnessing is shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And as you witness for Jesus, telling somebody about Christ, you're also building up yourself. It's a witness to them, it's also a witness about to you. That's why witnessing is very important. And you get growth by witnessing. You get spiritual growth also by witnessing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Let's see what that verse says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Now, this is what I'm going to give as a testimony of somebody else. You see, in this story here, or in this passage here, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. How many do you see there? That's about 8 offices. Now, I say witnessing can bring you from one level to the other level. Let me give you a testimony. Because I want to add testimony to each one of these steps I tell you about. When I was, after I finished my college in Nigeria, and I was preaching about, I had a Jeep that I bought, and I was used to preach, and I had some Nigerian soldiers, military men, that were camped in the same town where I was living. And I witnessed to some of them, and they became followers. And there was one brother that I wanted to make testify of what he told me. This brother is called Brother Samson Osage. He was one of the soldiers. And because after I witnessed to them and they became giving their life to Christ, they started following me to preach. And I will be the preacher with my megaphone or microphone, and they more or less just stand around, help give tracts to people that gathered, and we did that for almost 2 years. So during this time, and I'm talking about this brother Samson Osage, about 3 of them that are military soldiers that were converted, and they have others that are from another group. Now, this brother gave me a testimony that I want to share with you. He did not know that he has learned a lot just by following me to preach. He said the first thing he testified was that because he was in the same town that we are, we were going to the streets and preach. So they have seen him and some of the other boys around me that they are part of this man that was preaching about. So one reverend pastor of a church in that town wanted to actually get to me, jealousy, accusation, or something. But instead, they couldn't get to me because I was living in this place where I was already. I didn't live in town. I live in this government quarters and so on. But he saw this man that he knew that he always followed this guy to go and preach. So he wanted to get to me. He challenged him. Now, you guys preach this and preach that and preach that. And this man that has never even opened his mouth to preach at all, he told me that he didn't know that he has learned so much by just following me. That the words were just coming to his mouth, telling him what the Bible say. But so the reverend pastor couldn't. Jesus Christ said, I will give you a mouth that your adversaries will not be able to contend with. That was exactly what the man's testimony was. Now, where I'm going to is the testimony later, months later, that this brother told me. He said he had a dream. That's Brother Samson. He had a dream, and in this dream, he related that dream to me. So in this dream, he saw a big, tall building, like 5-story building or something like that. And there was a ladder on the wall of that building. And look, like on top of that ladder, if you climb to about the 3rd floor or 5th floor, through the wall, there are offices in that 4th floor, 5th floor of that story building. So he found himself climbing that ladder. He said while he was climbing the ladder, he just saw Jesus in the sky with 2 angels. He said the Lord spoke to him in that vision that when you climb the ladder to that level where those offices are, you can enter any of the offices. He told him that there are 7 offices there, you can enter anyone you like. And he woke up. And he came and told me the vision, the dream. And I said, 7 offices. And I was directed to this 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I counted apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Well, that's 8. So which means the Lord took one out and said, well, you can't get into one of these. Maybe apostles. But he said, there are 7 offices there. Get into any of them that you like. And I said, that's what the Lord is telling you. There are 7 of those that you can pick when you get to that height. That is what witnessing can do for you. That's what I'm trying to say. Because all he was doing was following me to witness. And I said, if you keep climbing because you are growing, you can get into any of these offices that he made available for you. That was the testimony of this brother. And I thank God that where I left, so I don't know how far he went, but that was testimony of a pastor, a brother that said, by witnessing, he grew. Now, that is my number four steps. I've listed the first one, I say, quiet time with the Lord, if you are writing it down. The second one, I say, is praying at midnight to redeem the time. Not only midnight, maybe 3 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever time you can wake up, pray, sing praise to God, and the Lord will meet you there. When you do that, when I was doing the angels were visiting me, angels, visions of angels begin to come. Well, the devil will try to resist you. Let me tell you that. When you pick up the praying in the dead of night, Satan will not like it. They say, who cares? The Lord will come and deck you with more power. That is the purpose. That is the purpose. Because the Lord sees that, I like that. So he come and deck you with more power. When the devil comes trying to suppress you not to wake up, that's all he will try to do. Try to suppress you not to wake up. Oh, the alarm bell will ring. The devil will make you sleep further. Sleep more. I said, no, you roll up your bed and just, I started by roll off my bed and on my knees. But now it's no more like that. Sometime I will hear and I will wake up. Nobody is ringing, but from the Spirit, the Lord is the one knocking. And I will wake up and I look at the time, 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. It depends what time he wants. And then I don't use alarm clock after many years of getting used to it. I shared this in Germany in 1978. And they said, wow, they wanted to do the same thing. I said, yes, do it. Because that is the purpose of telling you about this. You are redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, the last part is the reading faith books. Faith books from many ministries. You cannot do without studying. Apostle Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. What do you mean by study? Someone said, well, I only just read the Bible. Yeah, but all these books we are talking about, they were exposition of the Bible from ministers that God has given them to. I have about 8 of them on Amazon that you can read that are different topics that will boost your faith. This is faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Put that up there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Apostle Paul telling Timothy, study. What do you study? Books. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have the Holy Spirit when you are born again. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Don't say, don't read those books. Don't read those books. There are some false prophets. No, don't be put in fear. Let the Holy Ghost guide you. When you begin to open the books and you read, and it's not building you up, then throw it away. Get another one. There are me and many of these elders that you see over here, you know that we came to this country following some ministries. And some of these ministers never come to Nigeria, only their books. I chose Phoenix, Arizona, and Pastor Yato can tell you that many of our friends, why did you come to Phoenix, Arizona? Because that's, some people have asked me that right here. Why not New York or Texas and so? Because we associated ourselves with a ministry, a minister of the gospel. Did that minister come to Nigeria? No. How did you get to know about this minister? Books. His books. And we became excited and follow his exhortation. And that's why I chose this place. And that was, give an example of Daniel in the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. So that you are telling you that this is not just in our generation. Daniel was classified as a prophet. But look at him. What did he say? In the first year of the king, of his reign, the king, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. So Daniel was reading the books of Jeremiah the prophet. They said, well, Jeremiah the prophet was in the Bible. Yeah, when he was reading it, there was no Bible. It was just another preacher wrote about it. And he was reading it because they saw that what Jeremiah said, God told him, came to pass. So that whereas Jeremiah was arrested in prison during his time by the current king then. So don't say, well, don't say, don't touch these books. Don't listen to them. Let the Holy Ghost lead you and you learn something from the reading of the books. So that is what Daniel told us, that he studied, and Apostle Paul himself said, bring me those books. You mean Apostle Paul, what's he reading? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Put that one up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. This is Apostle Paul, the great apostle that wrote half of the New Testament. And when he wrote this book, when he wrote this Bible verse that he's talking about Timothy, he was already at the end of his ministry. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, both, but especially the parchments. I mean, he was still studying. You have to read to get the faith. You may say, well, I'll just read the Bible. Some people told us that. I'll just read the Bible. Say, but see, many of those things that those prophets wrote, they are writing things according to as Lord God revealed to them. But God wants to reveal more from what they wrote, what he meant. That's why the new people that God is raising up are writing more to explain this. So don't despise those books. Now, I'm going to go back to the final thing, the challenge. I want to challenge you guys for the fasting, spiritual growth. The fasting is essential, fasting lifestyle. Give me Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. That's the same thing we have pointed out to us, that Christ said this kind of demons, some satanic people you want to deal with, you have to be able to deal with them when you are fasting and praying. You don't wait till the situation occurs. Somebody say, can you help me with this? My son is having this. Say, okay, let me go fast. No, you've got to be a fasting Christian, fasting lifestyle, so that you have built up yourself. So that's it. So we're not talking about when you see the situation, you go and fast. It's a fasting lifestyle. And King David said he humbled himself with fasting. Psalm 35, verse 13. So fasting is a way of humbling yourself. Because when you are feasting, when you are fasting, eating and feasting and enjoying yourself, it's like you are merry. But when you want to ask something from the Lord, you need to be humble before him. Humble yourself before the Lord. Psalm 35, the book of Psalms, 35 verse 13. Give me that verse 13. King David was saying, I humble my soul with fasting. So it's a form of humbling your soul when you want to get something from the Lord. And another example is what we have read in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 there. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. So you want to seek something from the Lord, you seek it by supplication and fasting. And the Lord actually gave us some serious warning in the book of Revelation chapter 3 that we always refer to as warning to the Laodicean church. Laodicean church, when he said they claim to have need of nothing, they said they were rich, they were increased with goods, they have no need of anything because maybe they have mega churches or their budget is so huge. But God is not looking at that. God is saying spiritual power. And what did Lord say to them in verse, let's see from verse 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Said, because thou said, this is to a church of Laodicea. And that church of Laodicea is actually symbolizing the end time church. They say, I am rich and increased with goods. And you can see our generation now, so many mega churches. I was passing a church over there. The parking lot is full of cars. And I said, wow, there'll be at least 1,000 people in that building. And it's Sunday, and you say, well, you would like to have that, but see, God is not looking at crowd. He wanted people that are committed, that have the power, and They think they are rich because they have so many crowds. You can see if everybody's contributing $1, they will have $1,000 just on the Sunday service. They said, we are rich. But what did Lord say when he diagnosed them? Not just, I'm not talking of that church, I'm talking of this generation of mega churches. He said, but thou knowest not. He said, they don't know that thou art wretched. Wretched when they have mega churches? Yeah, he's talking of spiritual wealth. I'm miserable. Miserable because there's no power. No, and not even speaking in tongues in many of those places. And poor and blind and naked. That was his diagnosis of that generation of mega churches. But now he gave us, he said, verse 18. I counsel, that's his counsel to us. I counsel you to buy of me. What do you mean by buy? That means you have to exchange something. You have to give something for you to get this. It's not common. When I say you cast the devil out, come out, and the devil of cancer jump out, and I saw that. You have to pay something to get to that level. Is it for you? It is to help people. God wants to give it to help people. Because if you have this boldness, this power, this gift, it will help your neighbors. It will help the body of Christ. But somebody must pay the price. It's not freely given. That's what the Bible says. You can know what is freely given by God to us. But these are not freely given. That's why I say buy. And the way you buy is by that fasting. Because you are paying something to get it. And it's not for you. Because your name is written in heaven. You are being promoted to higher position. Let me give an example. Think of this government of America now. Many people say, oh, I voted for the president. I voted for the president. But when he's selecting cabinet, did he come and choose you? When the president, after he was voted in, did he call you to be in his cabinet? Even though you voted for him. You are just citizens. Those that he picked to be in his cabinet are the right-hand men, left-hand men. That is what you are trying to become when you come like this, when you get to the next level. God is saying, buy of me, you become powerful, you become a warrior for him. Then you are the one that is going to be in his cabinet. In the kingdom of heaven, when we get to the kingdom of heaven, there are ranks and files. Oh, we all read the Bible and say, we all go to be kings and priests. Not everybody. Just think about that. Because we read in the Bible, God, we are going to be kings and priests unto God. Not every believer. Not every believer. But some will be kings. Some will be priests. The rest, because if you are kings, if all of us are kings, whom are we ruling over? Dogs and goats? No. There will be citizens, those who did nothing. They are just okay to be saved. They will be the citizens. Whereas all these people that get to be giants for the Lord, they will be ruling in the world to come. They will be the rulers, the kings and the priests. Ruling who? The citizens. Who are the citizens? These common people that just think they are not doing all these steps to grow. They will be just commoners in the kingdom. If that's all you want, just to be commoners in the kingdom, that's good. You'll be, if you barely make it, if you barely get in, because those commoners are the one the devil is targeting. Slash them in back into hell. Slash them back into hell. Slash them back into hell with him. And you don't want to, that won't be your portion. So you want to grow. The more you grow, the less you are vulnerable to the devil. Praise the Lord. So that is what we are saying. God said, buy of me. Now he said, be zealous. See? Buy of me gold. That's the spiritual wealth. Tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, the righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes, its eyes of that thou mayest see. So you want to see. You want to see things we say. When you can see spirits when the Lord open your eyes. But see, those are the level he wants you to begin to walk in. That you get to do all these steps, add these steps to your faith, add these steps to your faith, so that you become a warrior for Jesus. And when you are a warrior for Jesus, that is when he can say you are using the talent he has already put in you so that you are bringing more fruit. Remember the parable where he said he gave one 5 talents, he gave one 2 talents, he gave one talent. The one that he gave 1 talent did nothing. And they took it away from him. If he's ever going to be saved, he said, cast this man into the where there will be gnashing of teeth. But this one that brought some, these are the fruits you are bringing, because whether you are witnessing or you are just growing in faith to be able to help somebody, deliver somebody from cancer, it takes this gift that you say, buy of me, and so on and so forth. So that is the testimony I want to share with you. It's a challenge. Now, how do you fast that long fast? Start like this. Start with a 1 day fast. Maybe you are doing the morning to evening type, where you miss your breakfast, you miss your lunch, and then you break it in the evening. That was how we all started. That was how, because I was raised among the Muslims, and that was what they call fasting. In fact, they even eat very early in the morning at 4 a.m., a big breakfast, and then they miss the real breakfast and miss the lunch, and then they have a big dinner. Well, you still deny yourself something. I don't say they are not doing anything, but that is not going to cut it. Now, maybe you start with that, and then you say, well, let me see whether I can miss dinner also. Dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then you say, that's called 24-hour fast, round the clock. And you can do that with ordinary, without drinking any water. We were doing that in those days without any water. But we found out that fasting does not include water. You can drink water in fasting. Hunger and thirst is stronger, but you can't last long. Naturally, you cannot last long. Maybe 7, 8, 9, you can try longer and thirst. By the 6th day, I hardly could spit. So that's why hunger and thirst is not the fasting. But when you fast, you take away food completely and just drink water, you can last 40 days. A natural man like I say, an average man like me, going about 130, 140, 150. I was 120 when I was doing 21 fast. That's why you look like skeleton. And if you see our Lord Jesus Christ, when he manifested to me, his stature was like this. He was not bulky. And I thought, if I'm bulky, I can make 40 days. He fasted with just stature of the 6 feet tall, about this size of stature. If you see him, that's exactly how he looks. But he showed himself to me in a vision. That stature is the average person. And he was able to do 40 days with water. We believe that he was drinking water. Moses was the only one that said, I didn't even drink water. But we knew he was in the glory. So we cannot say, don't drink water. But many of us have done fasting with water and were able to do it 21 days, 28 days, 30 days, 40 days. Many have done 40 days. And you see the result. It's powerful. Now, start with 1 day. When you do 1 day and then try 2 days some other time. Maybe next, try 3 days. And after a while, try 7 days. That was how we started graduating to this. Okay, let me try 7 days with ordinary water. And after you have done 7 days, maybe try another one in about 2 months. And let me try 12 days. Challenging yourself. And you are doing it to pray, to talk to the Lord, and to study. Study the Bible. Study books. Faith books of this ministry we are talking about. It will build your faith. And then maybe after you have done, maybe you want to challenge yourself. I won't go through 3 weeks, 21 days. You say, well, I may not get anything. You will get something, because even the side effect alone for those who wanted to lose weight. If you want to lose weight, why are you wasting your time trying to diet? Just go into fast. You will lose the weight really quick. Praise the Lord. That's just side effect. But the purpose is to get gifts from God, because you are talking to the Father who said, if you seek me, you shall find me. When you sought for me with all your heart, and then you believe in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What did he say? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He that cometh to God must do what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you take it upon yourself that I want to fast. Now, it is not between you and the church. Not between you and your family. You only need to notify your family. Like I told in the earlier time I witnessed, I preached about this. you need to notify your family that I want to fast so that they don't prepare your dinner. And if you are the one that prepared dinner, then you need to find a way of saying, well, we want to do this and I want to do this, and so that you find an alternative. But see, now there's what I call, this one is saying you must diligently seek him and you will get reward. God is going to reward you for whatever you do for him. He will reward you. So don't think I will not get anything. You will get something from the Lord. But don't think he's going to give you $1 million. If that's what you are fasting for the physical wealth, no, you are wasting your time. We are talking of the gold he mentioned, tried in the fire. That is spiritual wealth that will make you be able to be helpful to the body of Christ. That is what God wants to give to you. And when you get that, the rest will follow. Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things that everybody's running after will be added to you. So you will get every other thing added to you when you are seeking him first. Diligently seek him and he will reward you. That is very essential. Now, I mentioned that after you have done this fasting and did something, one final thing I want to add to this is that challenge yourself to it. And when you want to do it, if you are doing if you plan a long fast, anything going into 20-something days, it's called jungle fast. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the wilderness when he wanted to fast 40 days. Okay, that is called jungle fast. But you see, when the Lord was talking to the disciples in Matthew, he said, when you fast, anoint your face, comb your hair, so that nobody knows that you are fasting. That is when you are doing the Siri type of fast. You can do 3 days, 7 days within the Siri, and even go to work. And make sure nobody needs to see you frowning your face. You can't talk to anybody. Because, why are you so morose today? I'm fasting. No. He doesn't want you to do that. He says, make sure nobody knows. Your father that sits in secret will be rewarding you openly. But when you want to go beyond to the 20-something, 40 days, that was why when I was doing my, I planned it to be after school when I was on vacation. So if you are going to do 21 days, 30 days, when do you have a vacation? Take a holiday or your annual vacation and lock yourself inside the house or go to a jungle, like 40-day fast, go to the jungle, camp somewhere there. Nobody sees you. Because if you come out or anybody come back to see you and they saw you skinny, skin and bone, they will be trying to call the ambulance to rush you to the hospital. Ah, because they thought something is wrong. But you know why you are skinny, not so. And you don't want to tell them, so that you may have to tell your family. So they don't think I will just lock myself inside my house and do 40 days. Nobody knows. The day somebody come to the door and saw you that in that skeleton's face, they will be worried. They may even call the police on you. Also. So that is why you plan that and go to the jungle. And when you fast, finish fasting, then the reward begins to come. Most of the time, the Lord does not come when you are fasting. It's after the fast, that's when the Lord showed up. You can see example of that in the book of Daniel. Daniel fasted, Daniel chapter 9. Chapter 10. After he fasted, the angel came on the 24th day. He broke his fast on the 21st day. And the angel came and said, from the day you started fasting, we heard you. And the command came, but I couldn't come to you. There was a problem. But after he hung in there and fasted and prayed 21 days, the angel came. So the Lord will visit you after you have done the fasting. So that is always the case. And of course, during the fasting, you'll be seeing some other visions and dreams and so on. Nothing ruled that one out. But what am I saying today? Spiritual growth. These are the steps that we took that get us from one level to another level. I will summarize it again and then wrap it up. I said the first one is quiet time with the Lord. Quiet time with the Lord. Create 1 hour, 30 minutes or 30 minutes in law and just study. You and the Lord. Read the Bible, talk to him, let him talk back to you, and you may even see him solving your problems, telling you how to solve your problems by meditating on the word of God. The second one is dead night prayer, redeeming the time. Put it upon yourself to wake up in the dead of night. Say, wait, I couldn't do it. Use the alarm clock. That was how I started. And after a while, you will not need alarm clock. Himself will come and wake you up and knock on your bed. I've seen that over and over again. So, and when you do that, just pray. Sing praise to him and talk to him. And you'll be surprised what spiritual growth you'll be experiencing. How do you know you are growing spiritually? When your dreams change. When you begin to see that those spirits that come to press you, they are not malleable. Because you are now above them. Bible says, God has raised us up together with Christ and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Automatically, yes, but see, why is it not manifesting? You need to show that it will manifest when you yourself are grown, understanding it, believing it, and then it's manifested in your spirit. Because those spirits can tell. If you are afraid of them, they can tell. They can tell. If you are afraid of them, they can tell. So that's why you need the fasting to suppress fear. And I said number 3 is the long fasting. Number 4 is the witnessing. Witness for Jesus. There is promotion. As you tell others, the Lord says, he'll deck you more. He'll give you the words to say, and then you are growing. And like that brother said, the Lord told him, as you climb this mountain, climb this ladder, there's 7 offices there. You can enter any of them you like. That is how you get promoted in the kingdom of God. And the last part, I say, read, study, 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 study to show yourself approved unto God. Spiritual growth does not come without studying. Study the scriptures here, but study the books of prophets, the books that we have put out. Study those books and your faith grows. Faith coming by hearing. Anyways, better right now, you can even be turning it on your cell phone and be listening in your ears and just listening to audio books. That's even possible now. So that you have no time to read and read, or you have a problem with eyeglasses. Audio books, they are there. But you need to contribute to having, subscribe to it and study. And you will be seeing yourself grow spiritually. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet. I've thrown out challenges so for you right now that, hey, you can grow spiritually. That is what we did, how we started. And the Lord met us there, and he will meet you there as you do the same thing. Let's pray. Talk to you, the Lord, and say, give me the grace to do some of this, to add this. Or maybe you have been doing some of this, and gee, I never tried that. Some of you say, well, I never tried that, waking up at the dead of night. Add it to yours, and you'll see a difference in your growth. And maybe, well, I've not been fasting. I fasted once in 2 months when they say everybody fast, but you have never tried it round the clock. Or more than 3 days, challenge yourself and say, let me try 7 days. And you see yourself grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. This is a challenge I've been talking to people. And those that will be listening to this online, and they have given their life to Christ, they are listening to my radio broadcast or television broadcast. This is challenging to them also, that they need to begin to add this to their believing in Christ. Because this is where the power comes from. The power to be delivered from terrible things. It is in this that you are adding and you are growing spiritually. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you give the grace and the zeal to the believers, those that are here and those that are listening online, so that they have that zeal. Say, be zealous therefore and repent. What he told them in the book of Revelation chapter 3, say, be zealous therefore and repent. So we need to be zealous. So give us zeal again back. Give that zeal to even we that are sinners listening, so that we do it more and grow to the next level. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Okay, take it over.